Go here, there, and everywhere with Jeff Blair. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Three things you're not supposed to talk about in polite company: politics, religion, and money. Better add sports, too. And since he's not always polite company, he'll maybe address all four. Jeff Blair and the Jeff Blair Show, now on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
So that was, what do you figure, the fifth biggest ever win in Toronto Raptors history that we've had in the past 3 weeks? You know, the beauty thing from the Raptors 105-99 win over the Cleveland Cavaliers on Monday night, you know, the coolest thing about seeing the series tied at two games apiece, it was signing on this morning and seeing all the U.S.-based commentators not just talking about the remarkable performance of the Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan backcourt, or talking about how loud the ACC was. And really, you know, we need to stop worrying about what Americans, especially tits like Stephen A. Smith, say about us. That's just an aside. But talking about how head coach Dwayne Casey had snookered at his opposite number, how Casey poked and prodded and somehow ended up seeing LeBron James forced to expend energy guarding DeMar DeRozan, how Casey drew up a play in a timeout to ice the game after Bismack Biyombo rebound, Lowry dribbling and waiting for Damari Carroll to set a pick in a Mom Shumpert, then making quick work of the only man between him and the basket. I mean, there is a segment of the city's back basketball cognoscenti, if you want to call them that, that never want to give Dwayne Casey credit. And just like their baseball fans who still believe the Blue Jays advanced to the ALCS last season, despite John Gibbons. And there is a segment of the city's basketball cognoscenti, the same cognoscenti, who wonder whether or not Dwayne Casey, you know, whether he had the royal jelly, the tactical nous, to lead a team into a deep run in the playoffs. You know, I don't know how this will play out. I still don't know if DeMar DeRozan is a max player, but for one night at least, I thought Dwayne Casey was a max coach. And you know what? Of all the things that made me happy about watching this group and their fans celebrate that win last night, that knowledge was probably the most pleasing.
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
All right, Stephen Brunt will join me in a few minutes. We will chat about the Raptors' win last night, and we'll take your calls as well. 416-870-0590, star 590, or 888-666-0590. And we'll be playing the Tragically Hip all morning in light of the news. I don't know. I guess I heard it on Dean Blundell and Company. I was driving in probably, I want to say 7-ish or so, just before 7, that Gord Downie of the Tragically Hip, the Tragically Hip has announced that Gord Downie has been diagnosed with terminal brain cancer. And so we're going to be playing Tragically Hip songs all day. And, you know, the thoughts of most of us, you know, the thoughts of all of us, with Gord Downie, Tragically Hip, their families, their extended families, and I don't know, millions of fans. As we said, the Raptors beating the Cavaliers 105-99 last night, the Eastern Conference Finals. Think about this. The Eastern Conference Final is tied at two games apiece. It's now a best of three series. Yeah, think about that for a minute. Think back to where the Raptors were in the first round against Indiana. Think back to whether or not, all the thoughts we had, all the worries we had, whether or not they'd be able to handle Paul George. And it was Dwayne Wade in the Miami Heat. And they made it hard. But if you stuck with them, if you stuck with them through those two seven game series, man, last night had to feel sweet. And, you know, look, I understand what Dwayne Casey's saying. Dwayne Casey doesn't buy into this thing that most of us have suggested, that really this is all gravy for the Raptors. You know, really, winning one game was great. Two games? I don't know how many people expected that. I think Dwayne Casey's right when he said, you know, because I truly believe this. I think professional athletes don't go into a series thinking, okay, if we get one win, that's going to be good. And I don't think they're wired that way. You know, we can be wired that way in the media. Fans can be wired that way. I don't think athletes, I don't think they see it that way. I think what happens to them, they win one game and they go, huh, all right, this worked. This didn't work. Let's try it again. Let's see if this works. Alvin Williams is our Raptors analyst on Sportsnet, and Alvin Williams joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Alvin, thanks a lot for doing this, man.
Thanks for having me. Good morning.
You know, looking back at last night's game, and I mean, there are a thousand different ways you could go with this. The backcourt, I mean, Bismack Biyombo again, but I want to talk a little bit about Dwayne Casey, because you know, I remember reading an interview with Phil Jackson, and I want to say it was a long time ago. It was when he was still with the Bulls, but he was talking about basically how he thought the final 3 minutes of each quarter, that was kind of his time. You know, the players played, but it was during that time that the head coach could really exercise, you know, something really telling if it's a close game, right? It's at that point that the coach kind of takes over. What'd you make of Dwayne Casey? Because I thought Dwayne Casey coached a hell of a game last night. I thought he forced the Cavaliers' hands on several occasions. And Alvin, look, I admit, I don't know enough about basketball to know where Dwayne Casey ranks on the ranks of coaches right now. But he doesn't seem to get a lot of credit in this city. People tend to, you know, look at him as a defense-first guy. People tend to criticize some of his play calling late in games, which is fine. But talk to me a little bit about Dwayne Casey, the coach, and how he coached that game last night.
I thought last night Dwayne Casey did a great job of being patient. I think he did a great job of not overreacting when Cleveland when they made their run. They tied the game up, and they went up even a point. I think they may have went up 3 points. And Shannon Frye was making shots. Kyrie Irving was making shots. They were just, and LeBron looked like he was just picking them apart with passes. Like, I thought he did a really good job of staying the course and understanding what they were going to give up and how they were going to play. So that's a big component when you're coaching, and you hear probably a term like overcoaching and things like that. I thought he did a great job of believing in his team, believing in their philosophy and what their game plan was. And I think that was the biggest piece. And the players just, they got out of that rut, and they, mm-hmm. and they overcame the rut. And, you know, to their credit also, as a total team effort, they took the lead again, and they even expanded it. Players kept making plays, Biyombo, Kyle, DeMar, like everyone did a good job. Patrick Patterson, big, huge rebound. But Coach Casey really did a great job, I think, of staying patient and not overreacting to the Cavs' big-time shots and big runs that they were making.
You know, what does it say about this team, Alvin, that they can sustain or they can, you know, take the body blow of that type of run? I mean, the NBA is a game of runs, but it's different when you're making a run and it's LeBron James leading the charge. That's a different type of run. But yet these guys withstood that, and as you said, they just kind of figured out a way. And there was very little. There was desperation, but there wasn't a lot of panic.
Yeah, the team just showed a lot of resiliency. And, you know, this team has always been, even in the regular season, I've been watching it from back home and in Philadelphia, the team always fought. It was rarely a time where you just thought they'd given up or it was a big blow up, whatever the case was, whether being at home or on the road. You always saw some fight. And I think it's just a reflection of what this team is. And a lot of them, including myself, I just thought the way they were playing, even in Indiana, and you mentioned that, like, mm-hmm. it was just times with the inconsistent play and everything was so heavily driven offensively that, you know, that just concerned me a lot. But now it just seems, once again, when you start locking down on defense and playing with that energy, and we can go all the way back to game two of Indiana when Kyle and DeMar, they were struggling, but defensively when Norman Powell would come in, that defensive intensity is what carries them over. Now, when Kyle and DeMar plays the way they play, then that's just icing on the cake, and that's what makes the team that much more dangerous. But defensively, they're locked back in. They're playing with that energy that we didn't see in game one and two in Cleveland. But at home, in front of this crowd, and, you know, getting an idea of what they were going to do, the defensive intensity is unbelievable. And once again, Cleveland Cavaliers was held under 100 points against scoring. So it's just a collective effort on both sides now that's making the Raptors being the team that we've seen them in a regular season.
And, you know, one of the other things the Raptors did, Alvin, last night, and, you know, I'm not going to hammer the point about officiating in the NBA, but one of the things I thought they did last night is, you know, they kept the game at the type of pace where they weren't going to get whistled for a lot of fouls. You know, I mean, it's almost like they kept the referees out of the game. If that makes sense, it's almost like they kept the referees out of the game.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing, and one way to keep referees out of the game is just style of play. And one thing, they're playing defensively aggressive. They have an aggressive feel. And a lot of times when you're aggressive and you're going for it, the referees, they can't – you're putting a referee in a position where they really can't make the call all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember being back in college playing against Georgetown Hoyas way back in the day, and they were very physical. But John Thompson's philosophy was they can't call every call. If we play like this, they can't call every call. They can't call every bump. And, you know, I know the whistle's been going against the Raptors. Everyone thinks that. But the Raptors are doing a much better job on the offensive end of attacking, you know. And then on the defensive end, they're hitting first. And as aggressive as they are, they're still allowing. They're inviting the jump shot. They're inviting LeBron James. Damari Carroll, I got to take my hat off to him. He's doing a much better job of giving LeBron some space and making LeBron probably shoot over top of him. So their idea and the way they're playing now is going in their favor forever across the board, style-wise and with the referees. So they made big-time adjustments throughout the whole course of the game in this series so far.
You know, Alvin, every series, you know, has ebbs and flows of momentum, but you look at the series now. I think the Raptors look like they figured out that there are some defensive weaknesses in Cleveland. It looks like they figure out J.R. Smith, that there's a possibility of looking at him as a defensive weakness. I think they had 7 of their, I want to say 7 to 10 points down the stretch came from in the paint. You know, we saw Kevin Love tweaked his knee or hurt his knee when he stepped in the official's foot. It's interesting because now you're going back to Cleveland and it's the Cavaliers that have to answer all the questions. You know, how is Kevin Love? Where's he gone? It's kind of remarkable how different the dialogue has become in a week. It's like it's gone from, can the Raptors do anything right, to, oh my God, what's wrong with Cleveland?
Yep, and that's what winning and losing does for you, especially in the playoffs. You're coming up with storylines, you're looking for different things, and right now you have to ask, what kind of team is Cleveland? Like, this is probably the most adversity they've faced in a while since regular season. Mm-hmm. You know, once David Black got fired and Tyronn Lue took over and they had a couple issues or LeBron making some comments, but this is pretty much the first time with so much at stake that they have to answer those questions. And once again, Kyrie Irving, I'm wondering about his psyche. You know, when Kyle had the driving layup, when he had the layup and they subbed him out the game and put their so-called defensive lineup in, you know, with Iman Shumpert, mm-hmm. like you're taking a guy out the game that, you know, I'm sure he wanted to be in the game at that moment. So it's a lot of things that goes on. So the maturity and just the understanding how much is at this riding at this stage is going to really be tested with the Cavaliers and see how they respond. But once again, they're going home, and I'm sure they're going to play with a different level of energy. Now it's going to be up to the Raptors, because the Raptors see what they need to do in order to be competitive and even win. And that, once again, is that energy level has to be all the way on point for 48 minutes.
Alvin, how do you think Dwayne Casey is looking at Jonas Valanciunas right now with this game going, or I should say with the series going back to Cleveland again? You were able to have a little bit of joy, a lot of joy, actually, in the paint down the stretch. You got JV, you know, perhaps healthy. We don't know the degree of health, but at least enough that you've kind of planted the seed of doubt in the mind of the Cavaliers coaching staff as to whether or not he can see some time in the court. How do you think Dwayne Dwayne factors JV into this equation, or do you think that he just says, you know what, I'm going to roll with the guys I got right now?
Yeah, I really 100% think he's saying, I'm going to roll with the guys right now. And it's just because, you know, it's not discrediting JV and what he brings to the table, but the team is playing at such a high level with Bismack Biyombo and the rest of the guys, and defensively and offensively, it's just one of those things where they just are rolling right now. And I'm sure he feels good about it, but I think Coach Casey is definitely the type of guy to say, you know what, I don't feel any pressure to make a decision. Now, having JV available, that's just a bonus, just in case Bismack has to sit down for a while or you need something else. And that's a bonus, and that's a luxury that Coach Casey has. But I really think he's under the impression, or he has the mindset, I'm going to just roll with these guys because they are playing and Biz is playing at an unbelievable rate at home, especially because he gets this crowd into it. With him, he made that block on that alley-oop yesterday. Mm-hmm. And for him to just run off the floor and not complain about it, everybody else complained, the fans booing and, you know, chanting everything, but he runs off and gets the crowd into it. And so the whole game still just changed. Like, the energy was still there. Not from that bad call, but the energy was still there. And he did all that just by not pouting and sulking, but more so encouraging. All right, let's go. Let's go. Don't worry about it. Ran off the court. So little things like that he's bringing to the table is just something that has no value on it.
Alvin, you've seen Kyle Lowry an awful lot. You know him really well. What suggests to you, or when you're watching a game, what's a hint to you that Kyle Lowry's going to have one of those games, you know, one of the games he had last night? What do you see early in a game where you go, okay, this is it. He's locked in. It's going to be one of those nights.
It's two things with Kyle. The look in his eye, I know the look. I know the determined look. Like he's out to kill something. He's out to really, really take no prisoners. And then I look of the bewildered, kind of like not sure.
Mm-hmm.
You can see that look comes after a few plays, or a couple tough plays. But when he's rolling like that, when he's rolling on the offensive side like that, it's just his balance, his structure, his decision making, like being decisive. You can just tell, even if the shot is not going in, you know he feels it that day. And, you know, getting back home and, you know, Cleveland not playing him as aggressively as they were playing him in Cleveland, it's just giving him so much rhythm and so much focus and so much and confidence. I hate saying giving him confidence, but it's just putting him in a great mood and a great, great feel for the game. So his look and just like his body language, you can just tell when he's ready to roll.
Alvin, it was great of you to do this as always. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
Alvin Williams, our Raptors analyst on Sportsnet. And as I've said all along, one of the real pleasures of this postseason for me has been, has been having Alvin Williams on and talking basketball with him. So this is the schedule. Game 5 is Wednesday night. It'll be on Sportsnet Ontario. Tim and Sid will be live from Jurassic Park from 5 to 6:30 p.m. also in Sportsnet Ontario. They will have a Raptor Central pregame along with Alvin Williams at 8 p.m. on Sportsnet Ontario, and then tip-off will be just after 8:30. Matt Leo, Eric Smith, Michael Grange, Arash Madani, Tim and Sid, Alvin Williams will be your team as we cover the Raptors. Tied 2-2 with the Cleveland Cavaliers, it is now a best-of-three series in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I cannot, honest to God, cannot believe that I'm saying that. That's a case. Stephen Brunt joins me. We'll take your calls. It's a Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, welcome back to the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunt. We The Toronto Raptors, Mr. Brunt, 105-99 winners over the Cleveland Cavaliers. I was saying before the break, you know, the series is tied at 2 games apiece. Whatever happened to just one win and we're going to be happy?
Yeah.
That's 2 wins and everybody's getting greedy. It was interesting coming in and, you know, signing on and reading some of the American, there's some of the American commentators talking about the series and everything. And it's just fascinating how all of a sudden there are all these questions about the Cleveland Cavaliers that 6 days ago, you weren't thinking about.
Well, they were remarkable. Now they played some, they played some close games in those first two series, right? It wasn't like they weren't pushed.
No.
And they, you know, but the games,
Detroit pushed them especially.
Yeah, and games like last night, though, they won. And there was a stretch in the fourth quarter there where it looked very much like they were going to win. You know, that second unit came out and they started hitting threes and the Raptors looked tired and they couldn't defend. But those teams that they beat in the first two rounds didn't have two guys playing as well as DeRozan and Lowry. You know, and I'll throw Biombo in the mix too because he's been tremendous. But those guys just coming out and making the shots. You know, and again, they put themselves in good position. They weren't trying to make crazy shots. They were they made their shots. But the ability to just stir down the stretch for DeMar DeRozan to get in the paint, you know, pull up and make his shot, for Lowry to make his shot. You know, Corey Joseph made a couple which were a little less in control and maybe a little more fortunate. But that's the mark of this team, right? That those two guys, when they're on, you know, are very, very special players. And they're incredibly tough players. And, you know, we've talked about them endlessly through these playoffs because there were times, obviously, when both of them looked like they weren't up to it. And, you know, if they were just a little bit less than what they were last night, the Raptors are going to Cleveland trying to stay in the series. None of us think they're going to win, right? They've blown an 18-point lead at home in a game that had a chance to stay in the series, and now they're going to go to Cleveland and they're going to get wiped out.
And it's funny, if they lose that game, we're also talking about how horrible the officiating is.
Yeah, which, yeah, I think is getting tired already, by the way.
Yeah, the fix is in. It's not getting tired. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
The whole thing, if you're the Raptors, and I asked Alvin Williams this, and I thought he made a good point. See, there is a way to keep officials out of the game, and that is if you're aggressive from the start to the end. So that, you know, he made the point that when he was in college and they were playing Georgetown, he said, you know, John Thompson's sort of hit the mantra to his team was, right from the start, be aggressive, play that way to the end of the game. So that, you know, the referees put them in a position where they're either going to have to do one of two things, call a foul on every play, or just go, well, it's the way these guys are going to do it tonight, and I've got to let it go. And I think what Alvin was saying is you can take the referees out of the game if you do maintain that consistency so that, you know, all of a sudden they're not caught unawares when they see somebody doing something.
Yeah, it's a good point, I think.
Yeah.
It makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, but you know, you're right. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, the referees can be a talking point last night, but Raptors still had more free throws.
Yeah, they had more free throws in the end. Game. And, you know, you can look at individual calls, but I think you could do that a lot of times during the season if you really wanted to. And look, this Cleveland team has flaws, right? You know, if they're not hitting, they're going to get open threes. The way, you know, with the way LeBron distributes the ball, they're going to get open threes. If they don't make those shots, they're beatable. It's, you know, Kevin Love was awful last night for most of the game, right? He can't defend. And he, you know, was terrible, especially for, you know, first 12 shots he put up where, you know, he looked awful. They found guys to make shots later, and that's when things started to kind of even out a little bit. But it's not, you know, they look like a team that's got some holes, right? Mm-hmm. And to some degree, they're holes that match up with what the Raptors can do. You know, somebody came on before this series started, one of your callers, and talked about how they haven't got anybody who can defend DeRozan. They can't defend DeRozan and Lowry. They don't have guys. You know, Kyrie Irving can't do that. Dellavedova can't do that. And you know what? It's true. It's true. They can't. They can't really defend those guys. So they're going to have to overwhelm Toronto in other ways. If it comes down to that, if it comes down to them having to stop DeRozan and Lowry, the way DeRozan and Lowry are playing right now, they're not going to stop them.
Well, and it's going to be interesting, too, if in fact Dwayne Casey somehow gets Jonas Valanciunas back, even for a bit, just to throw another.
Yeah, that's a tricky one, though, isn't it?
Well, because you don't want to, as Alvin Williams said, you don't want to screw up what's working.
Yep.
But on the other hand, for a couple of minutes to give them something to think about, maybe.
Depends how healthy he actually is.
Yes.
And what he can actually do, because they might exploit him.
Yeah. But
so it was interesting having him on the bench there. It gave him something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not. And if you had him at 100%, obviously. It gives you a different look and another option. But right now, logically what I would say is they're going to go into Cleveland. They're probably going to lose game 5 in Cleveland. They're going to come back here for 6, and we'll be having the same kind of conversation. But I don't know anymore.
No, I don't either. Kevin Love, he injured his knee in game 4. I think he stepped on the foot of an official. And, last night was, not even a factor. We talked a little bit about how going in the series, the Cavaliers have a little more depth than a lot of people have given them credit for. But it's funny after a couple of losses where you're starting to look at some of that depth and go, yeah, they got guys. But in a lot of those cases, the Raptors kind of have an answer for the guys that they bring in.
Like what you saw last night is their depth. They have tremendous depth.
Mm-hmm.
That second unit played unbelievably well last night, right? And that's got them back in the game. So I think if you're talking about going 10 deep, they're better than the Raptors 10 deep. I guarantee you they're better than the Raptors 10 deep. But, if you're only talking 7 deep, then the Raptors are right there with them. So, you're putting a lot of weight on the shoulders of 2 guys or 3 guys. And you need players like Patrick Patterson has to do what you ask him to do, right? Mm-hmm. He needs to, sometimes, 7-on-7 is what it is the measure of a series, and I kind of feel like that they can hang in, and LeBron can't win it by himself. I think that's the other thing you've seen, right? Mm-hmm. That, there are moments when you kind of think, okay, he feels like he's going to take over now. He's going to take over this game.
Yeah, at one point last night, I think that he, in their first 10 buckets, he either scored or, I think he scored or assisted, had assists on 10 of their 11 at one run, which is, but that's LeBron.
But he's not, he's not effective from the perimeter right now, really, and he's really acting more as a distributor of the ball because every, I understand that they're trying to take things away from him. But, he could come out and have an unbelievable game in game 5.
Sure.
But right now it doesn't look like if it's LeBron against the world, that might work against Cleveland right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that makes the Raptors' job a little bit easier.
It would be remarkable. This may not happen, but it would be remarkable if the Eastern Conference Final actually goes longer than the Western Conference.
Yeah. Oh, there's a million things going on right now that are remarkable. Having this conversation, man.
It would be remarkable. Andre and Pickering, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Andre.
Hello, how are you?
Thanks for
taking my call.
No problem.
No, I just wanted to start from the top. With the round one, first we had the regular season, 56 wins. Okay, we needed to win round one. We did that. We needed to win round two, beat Dwayne Wade. We did that. Now we get blown out in the first 2 games. The Raptors really showed their resolve, and they showed that once you take the expectations off their back, you put it to the other team, that's when they're really going to play how well they are. Because the way they played the last 2 games, I feel is closer to how they played in the last 2 seasons than what we've seen in the first 2 rounds.
No, Andre, that's a great point.
Yeah. Yeah, so I really think that the sky's the limit. Anything can happen. And as long as they play their hearts out, we're good to go and we possibly can go to the finals. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks. That is a great point. These last 2 games it's probably more representative of the Raptors in the regular season than any playoff game they've played to date.
Yep. Yeah, I think so. Well, because, again, you're back in that, nobody believes in this thing. Mm-hmm. And, there's people. They were the second best team in the Eastern Conference in regular season. They won 56 games. Somebody believed in them, right? Yeah. You should have. But, after those first 2 games in Cleveland, I'm sure someone will pop up here and say, I knew they were going to win 2 in Toronto, but no one thought that, right?
Nobody thought did.
That. No one thought that at all. I think that we kind of thought they might make a stand and maybe they might win 1, or at least they'd fight. It would be close. But, this is kind of a dream scenario, I think, for the fans. And I agree that the kind of character, though, of the team, I hate talking intangibles because I think mostly they don't mean anything, but I think you saw that the guts of that team, especially after they'd blown the lead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and actually, you know, and Cleveland went up by one, Cleveland went up by three at one point there, and you kind of felt, man, it's starting to roll downhill here. This doesn't feel good. And their best players were their best players kind of, you know, won the day. I
still find it remarkable that they have lost back-to-back games once.
Yeah.
Since the end of March.
Yeah, it tells you something, right? That's a trend. That's not a fluke.
No, it has to. And I'm with you. Look, you know, character of teams, chemistry. I tend to think that in the end, talent and coaching trumps all. But when you see a team do what these guys have done, you have to sit down and say, you know, when you list the things that make the Raptors, resilience is very definitely, it's one of the characteristics of this team.
Yep.
It absolutely is. It might be right now the dominant characteristic of the team. Michelle in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
What a great, great weekend in Raptor Nation. I mean, it was just unbelievable. They played so well. Seeing the All-Stars come back, just couldn't be better timing. So much fun. The defense they've been playing, Bismack. I mean, there's just, I don't think there's any reason why they can't win. I think the pressure's on Cleveland now.
Oh, I agree with you. I think game five, there will be pressure in the Cavaliers. There will be, again, we talk about LeBron is LeBron, but there's some other people that have some questions.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and like you were saying, he just hasn't been able to just sort of change a game the way, you know, some of the other elites have been able to, or he's not going off and having like a 40 point night.
That almost scares me though, because I've got to think that he's got one of those. I've got to think he's got one of those in him someplace, just waiting to come out.
You would think so. I think it'll probably come out in Cleveland if anywhere. And being in the ACC this weekend was just a magical place to be.
Well, you know, Michelle, at the end of the day, at the end of the day, there's really, if you can't have fun with the sports teams that you watch or that you cover, it gets kind of old. And the thing I like about what we've seen out of the Raptors the past couple of games, I mean, it's fun to watch them win. I mean, there are teams that win and just don't look like they're having fun winning a lot of times. We've all covered teams like that.
Don't they look like they're just having a ball, much like the Jays last year? Just loving life, loving each other, and just the ride.
Yeah, I think you're right. Thanks for the call. That's absolutely the way. That's absolutely what it is. I think these guys are, and there has to be a certain amount of satisfaction. I mean, I know these guys say they don't read this, they don't listen to this, but they know what's up.
Well, they got humiliated in the first two games, right? Look, they got crushed. Yeah. And I know everybody said, well, you know, there was a sense out there. Well, of course, now they finally met their match, and Cleveland hasn't lost in the playoffs, and it's kind of manifest destiny here. You know, they're marching toward the final, and them versus the Warriors or mm-hmm. them versus the Thunder, as it's turning out. And the Raptors are going to be a little speed bump here. And isn't it great that they got as far as they did? But from, you know, it's pretty clear that internally that wasn't the way things, you know, no one was kind of saying, okay, we've gone as far as we're going to go. Mm-hmm. But you know what, Jeff, it all comes down to DeRozan and Lowry making their shots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole playoff, right? If you know, there are other ways that they can be effective, and there are other things that have worked for them, and they're kind of, you know, especially what Biombo has been managed to do, and they're all components. But if those two guys don't make their shots, they don't win. You know, they don't win. And I think, you know, we've said at times maybe if one of the two is on, they can win. In this series, I don't think that's true. You know, in this series, they need both of those guys, and they were, you know, they were magnificent last night. They were fantastic last night.
Eddie and Fort Erie. How are you, Eddie?
Good, guys. You know what? I agree with what the last caller said about the pressure on Cleveland, because, you know, as far as I'm concerned now, it's the best two out of three. All bets are off, because it's amazing how you're the favorites and now you're doubting yourself. And that's where I think the pressure is now on Cleveland to, like, kind of play a little bit harder, like more than ever. And you know what I think as well, guys? I really believe in any sport, respect is earned. And I think after the Raptors lost those first two games, everybody's, you know, doubting them, even the American media. And now I think that they've come back to tie it up at twos. They're starting to think, you know what, maybe we've underestimated them a little bit. Maybe they do have a lot of heart, that more than we give them credit for, you know?
Well, you know, we had Joe Varden on just before the series or just after game one. The guy who basically covers LeBron James and for Cleveland.com. And he made an interesting point, and Stephen, you referred to it as well. You know, LeBron's invested in this Cavaliers team.
Yep.
This Cavaliers team hasn't won jack. He wants to bring a title to Cleveland. And at some point, I think at some point, I'm not going to say that pressure gets to him, but at some point that becomes a factor.
Yep.
You know, if we don't win two of these next three games, I mean, essentially, again, we flopped.
Yeah, I think so. Although, look, there, you know, there's going to be some adversity along the way somewhere, right? They swept the first two rounds and won the, you know, they won 10 games in a row. So here's your bit of adversity you're going to have on the way to the final. It's going to happen. I guess, and the other thing is home court in this league, in this game, is incredibly significant.
Yes, it
tends
is.
To be.
Yeah.
So, yes, it's 2 out of 3, but yes, the Raptors have to go and win a game.
Yeah.
So that is the mountain that remains to be climbed. And look, I'm not saying I doubt that these guys at this stage. I'm not betting my own money against them. That's
no. Nope.
But that there is a mountain that remains to be climbed, and at it kind of feels like we're going to game seven to me, but and wouldn't that be something?
Well, and I think we saw last night as well something that maybe we haven't seen through the playoffs so far, and I kind of referred to it in my commentary. I know from reading, again, going online and reading this morning, I mean, there are people out there questioning Tyronn Lue right now.
Yep.
Which, you know, with normal, you're going to be questioned if you're a coach. But suddenly, you know, his moves are being.
You think they want David Blatt back? You know,
I don't think they want David Blatt back. I wouldn't go that far. But, you know, you realize all of a sudden, I mean, this guy doesn't have a lengthy track record.
Nope. No, I got to say, you know, the adjustment they made in the second half with that second unit, leaving those guys out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had to park Kevin Love, and Love was hurt anyway, but parking him on the bench. And, you know, that second unit was really, really good, and the Raptors struggled with it. They, you know, they lost the second half because of those guys. So, you know, that's I don't think probably that LeBron drew that one up on the sideline, although who knows, maybe he did.
Well, but, you know, I mean, the final play that Dwayne Casey dropped, it was perfect. And you know, I think they figured out that J.R. Smith is a guy they can attack. I mean, they can go right at. That's kind of the soft underbelly of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
There's a bunch of guys that can attack on this team defensively, you know, in terms of defending. There are, as long as they hit their shots, you know, they will get shots. They will get opportunities. They will not be smothered. This Cleveland team, I don't think, can smother them. So it's a matter of hitting those shots. But, it'll be interesting to see the kind of counter move. Because, it's, you know, we've seen a lot of this in these playoffs. One of the fascinating things watching this playoff from the Toronto point of view, I've been watching the moves and counter moves by the coaches. And I think Lou dialed something up that was pretty good in the second half last night. But we'll see what emerges in game five.
Ty and Stovall, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Good, good.
So speaking about coaches, I think, I don't know if anyone said it yet, Dwayne Casey has to get a lot of credit for the way he's reacted after losing those first two games. He's kind of figured out how to reinvent the way the Raptors should be attacking the Cavaliers, and we can see the results. They've stepped up their game on so many different levels, their offense, their defense, and I feel like he's out coaching Lou hands down right now over these last two games. And I think it's a matter of also how much respect the players are giving each of the coaches in terms of how much they're buying into the systems. And when you have a guy like LeBron, who I guess for lack of a better term calls the shots as well, sometimes that might rub players the wrong way regarding how they view their coach.
Yeah, the whole problem, and thanks for the call, the whole problem with sort of LeBron and the relationship with Tyronn Lue and David Blatt is anytime something like that happens, Stephen, I always get the sense that we only hear half the story.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it's player led a revolt. That one thing you know about LeBron's a pretty sharp dude. And if LeBron didn't like what David Blatt was doing, he probably had a good reason, because it doesn't strike me as the time. Now, I know when he was with Miami, and guys who covered the Heat will tell you, one of the things that happened in Miami is Pat Riley talking very early and saying, here's the thing, you're the greatest player in the world. I got more rings than you do. This coach is my guy.
Yep.
And whatever you want to do, that's fine. I got Eric Spoelstra's back.
But LeBron's got more rings than David Blatt does, right?
Bingo.
Yeah. Bingo. So I think, look, I don't think that they ran David Blatt out of town out of kind of petulance or ego. I mean, there's lots of ego. But I think they ran David Blatt out of town because they thought they had a better chance to win a championship with somebody else.
100%. Yeah. Or they thought he was an impediment, winning a championship.
Yeah, that's right. And I again, everything suggests to me that the players really like Tyronn Lue, and that they're, you know, this is a happy group. Now, you know, if you win 10 playoff games in a row, you're probably really happy until the 11th one. But the original point is, you know, hats off to Dwayne Casey. Absolutely. You know, I think, you know, I say any questions have been answered about Dwayne Casey. I'm not sure what questions there really were, but in terms of, you know, his ability to deal with a changing situation, with the changing health of his roster, with guys going hot and guys going stone cold, two really challenging 7-game series that maybe shouldn't have been that challenging, but they were. And then to pull these guys out of getting annihilated in 2 games, and finding a way, helping them to find a way back into the series. I don't know what else you can do in terms of coaching. Plus, you know, the guys who know way more about the X's and O's are talking about his X's and O's. So, by any definition, that's great coaching, isn't it?
I think it is. Richard in Barbados, very quickly, you're on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Where are you in Barbados?
Well, St. Michael Parish, if you know it well.
My family was just down in Worthing Beach.
Worthing Beach, you mean like Accra?
Around there, yes.
Yeah, great area of the island. Real quickly, yes. What about a healthy Valanciunas being able to come to the floor in Game 5? Wouldn't that be a boost to the defense if they have Biombo and Valanciunas on starting up or being in the lineup? That would just add another kink to their armor.
Oh, I think the funny thing would be, I'm going to say the funny thing, but to me, watching Jonas Valanciunas there last night, it's like a manager's got a great pinch hitter on the bench or something like that, you know, and you're the other coach, you're looking over and you're going, I don't think he's going to play. But all it takes is Jonas Valanciunas to, like, you know, stretch a little bit, and automatically in the back of the Cavaliers' mind, you see the possibility of Valanciunas coming. I do think Alvin Williams is right. I think you may see him in Game 5, but if you're Dwayne Casey, you've won 2 in a row with these guys. You got to do what you did. But again, as you said, Cleveland, you got time to look at the video, see what went right, see what went wrong. Maybe this is a situation where if you're Dwayne Casey, you kind of wait and see what Cleveland does before you decide how you're going to use Jonas Valanciunas.
Yep.
Yeah.
My guess is Jonas Valanciunas will see the floor in Game 5.
Yeah.
I'll
tell you what, if it gets nasty and Cleveland's got an early lead, he'll be in.
Yep. Yeah, no, he'll get some minutes. Just, I think they've got to see, again, if you believe that what they're saying is actually the truth, which is that he is ready to play on some level, then they've got to see what he looks like.
Yeah.
Right? They've got to put him out there. If it's just a decoy, then he may just sit on the bench and occasionally try and look like he's going to take his T-shirt off.
I think we'll know in Game 5 whether or not he's a decoy.
Yes.
I think that'll be apparent.
Yep.
We talked a little bit yesterday about the passing of John Brophy, and so many good, and I was just reading some stuff, so many great stories about John Brophy, and Stephen, you spoke very eloquently about, you know, talk about a textured life, I guess is the best way to put it, and just a long, long life spent coaching hockey. It's a lot of people who covered the Leafs and who've been around John Brophy, I mean, they almost feel this, I don't know, Stephen, do they feel the same way about him as they would about Pat Burns? There seems to be almost a There just seems to be a real affection for the man.
Yeah, I think so. Different guys, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly Burns had a very different resume in the end.
Yeah.
But, I think the guys who played for him loved him. You know, I think there was, because he was...
Brophy's boys.
He was what he was.
Scott Morrison of Hockey Central will join us when the Jeff Blair Show with Stephen Brunn continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.